Here we are for Dualistic Unity Social. I was going to say Raw. Wasn't sure what it was. You know, I've already had an episode today. It was kind of fun. I was recording an episode with Jackie early on this morning, and that was a great conversation. Always very enjoyable. Kind of went all over the place. I think we might go with Dualistic Unity Rambles, but I'm not necessarily sure. But it was a lot of fun, and it really got me thinking about some of the potential for what we've got going with the four co-hosts, because you can do a segment with Amanda. I can do a segment with Amanda. We can mix it up. We can do segments with three of us. We can do segments with just, you know, one person going out there. We're already kind of doing that. The point is that we can mix it up. And I still think, if we really work at it, that the four of us can become an excellent barbershop quartet.
I'm with you.
Yeah. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I've been thinking of ways that we can just random spots, do like a line dance or something. Even just stir it up just for no reason whatsoever, and just see what plays out. But yeah, the options are kind of really open-ended. They're up to us. So yeah, there's always been certain things and considerations and reasons to do or to not do certain things for me, and yeah, those all seem to be dropping these days. And that sense of trying to hold a bunch of spinning plates is like, no, there's no way to do all of it. And they're not even being held anyway. So like, meh, a little bit of singing in a grocery store or on a street corner. It's like, why not? Why not? But I do like the DU Rambles for that. And it kind of opens up the door to be like, oh yeah, no, everything's on the table. Yeah. Chat about whatever is going on. So yeah, it's exciting. Cause I'm going through, doing some packing, some immigration research, and excited for the shift and move to Vancouver Island very soon, getting to Nanaimo on Saturday. So excited for that. Excited to get back to some regularly scheduled karaoke a couple days a week. Get back into the singing and whatnot, and get some reps in there. And music, being music with Jeff.
Yeah, I'm stoked about that one.
Yeah.
That's gonna be a lot of fun to get back into. And then we got another retreat coming up. We got the last mini retreat of 2024 coming up. So that's going to be rad. It's going to be in Colorado. It's going to be very, I'm hoping, very light. It really is a dope place. It's a lot of fun. It's well decorated. It's always 420. I mean that. The clock on the wall always says 420, or at least last time I was there, they did that. It's a really nice place. And if you like smoking weed and you enjoy just chilling out, playing pool, watching some cool movies and having fun, this is definitely going to be a good retreat for you, for sure. Aside from that, though, we have another retreat coming up at the end of the year. This one is not a mini retreat. This one is going to be a 9-day retreat. It starts a Saturday, ends a Sunday. It is going to be on Vancouver Island. It's going to be in mid-ish November. So this is not summer weather, but there are fireplaces. There's a big fireplace in the living room. There's a fireplace out in the gazebo. It's cozy in the extreme, and it's not super cold because it's Vancouver Island, in fact. So it is on the chilly side, but nothing that a hoodie won't help you with, or a light set of gloves. And there are two national parks nearby. The weather's beautiful for the most part. Everything's green and lush. It's Vancouver Island, is what I'm saying. There's a hot tub. There's a pool table. We do karaoke. It is the first location that we did our retreat. And it's fucking magical, admittedly. So I would say that if you are looking for a 9-day retreat, keep an eye out for the announcement. It's going to be on Patreon soon. Tickets are going to be first available to Patreon supporters in the order of their tier. So tier 3 first, and then tier 2 and tier 1. And just a heads up, these tickets are not mini retreat prices, because these 9-day retreats are the full shebang. We have a chef, we have a yoga instructor that comes in, we have a live guitarist, or in this case, we may even have some of the members of Fidelium come and play us a tune. I don't necessarily know, but this is going to be just fucking intense. But that said, if you're looking for something that's on the more affordable side, come to Colorado. There's only a few tickets left. This is going to be the cheapest thing we're going to do for a while. And again, it's very fun. It's only a weekend, Thursday to Monday morning. So it's easy to get the time off work. You just take off a Friday. That's it. But the 9-day retreat, you got to take off a whole week of work because you're there from Saturday to the following Sunday. So it's more of a commitment, but it's also a hell of a transformation. By the end of that retreat, you will feel like you have been with us 4 months.
Yeah, the time really does stretch while you're there. And you and Jackie, your conversation was definitely hitting in that sense of feeling. And I think this relates to the retreats as well. Like that sense of feeling like you have all these obligations and it's like all these different things going on for all these different stuff. And like if all of that, you know, fell and there wasn't so much, like what would you do? Like what would the next thing be that you did? And if there was, and this is the part that I was thinking about with the retreats, was that sense of like if there was no one to teach and no one to learn something from to help you gain anything, like what would you do? What would you be left with? What would you share? What would you express? And it's kind of brought me a lot. I don't know. I feel like closer to expressing myself. And that idea that like there's something, like some deeper thing to share with someone or something that's going to help someone do something for them that they couldn't do themselves, or that expressing anything and trying to teach something is even helpful at all in any sense. And so, yeah, the retreats really are not this place where there's, you know, any answers, anything about the podcast. Like there's nothing, because it's speaking and hearing, you know, it's not living, you know, it's not life. It's not that action side of things. And so, yeah, if there wasn't anyone to teach or to learn some deeper thing from, you know, like a Krishnamurti or Jesus or Alan Watts or anyone you want to look to, anyone online, anyone that's ever, any historical figure, like they couldn't actually give you anything, like what would you do? How would you spend your time? And it definitely changes things pretty quick. So yeah, also Colorado mini retreat down there. May 30th to June 3rd, game room, hot tub, bonfire. Gonna be an awesome
and time. So much weed. I can say that because we're on Instagram. So a lot of weed. It's gonna be a lot of weed at this one. That said, it's interesting because people can have two different experiences talking to me. Well, they can have a lot of different experiences talking to me. That's not necessarily true. But typically, if they're coming from the podcast and we're chatting in a one-on-one or we're chatting at a retreat, you can do one of two things with your time with me. You can engage in conversation with me and try to answer some cerebral question. We can process some emotional thing. We can process a memory. We can do all that. I can help point out that there are other perceptions of the things that you've been through and indeed of what you've gotten out of those things that are just as valid as the perception that you have become attached to habitually. And we can do that. You know, we can have that whole conversation. And I love having that conversation. It's not like I don't. But in that, there is still this weight that you are experiencing. There is this weight that you're going through. And it's because you're trying to get somewhere through the conversation. And again, we can do that or not. And just be there in the moment, free of the story, free of the narrative, in the experience that we're having. And that conversation is so much lighter immediately. All of a sudden, you are having an experience that reminds you what all of this is about. You're not trying to get to it. You're allowing yourself to have it. And that's when you laugh. And that's when it's light. That's when you enjoy the conversation and you feel that, you know, that dance that's happening in the dialogue, rather than it being, now we're going to process things and it's going to be all very heavy. And this is a common misconception that if it doesn't feel heavy, you're not processing it. Again, this is just theater. To some degree, we are always processing. The reason it feels heavy is resistance to the fact that it's happening regardless of us. See, it's always happening. We're like, no, I'm doing it. That's when it's heavy. It's like, no, it's happening. No, I'm doing it. No, you're not. It's happening. Let it go. Just be here. You know, and that's very much the point. If you want to come to a retreat, come to a retreat and just hang. Just be. Just play pool. Let's go for a walk. Let's chill. You know, apparently there's a console game there at this location now, and that wasn't the case last time. Personally, I still go for the old school Pac-Man. Not going to lie, the old school Pac-Man is my jam, or Galaga, which is great. But anybody who wants to come, we can play whatever. There's air hockey. There's foosball. Fucking love foosball. But the point is it's a place to just hang and be. If you want to go through some deep stuff, if the deep stuff pops up and you need someone to talk to, we're there. We're there. All you have to do is tap us on the shoulder and say, hey, I'm taking this shit seriously. Can we take a walk, or can we chat about it? No problem. But that's all that's going to change. Is you're going to recognize that you don't have to take it seriously, that the weight comes with you. And you can let that go and just celebrate that with us for a weekend.
Yeah, because that processing is going to happen one way or the other, and there's going to be opportunities that you're faced with, and opportunities to take them and opportunities to not, and you take them and you roll with them, and there's no alternative. Like there's no guarantee. And I think this is maybe something I've definitely tried to look at, is what's going to happen next and what can I do right now to guarantee that that's going to happen, as if that's a potential. And even right now I can think about a lot of different things coming up, next things, next stuff that's going to happen. And like, it doesn't exist. Like it isn't actually a thing that plays out. And there's been a number of situations I've gone through recently where I've had certain like a variations of things that I think might happen. And it's like within a small spectrum, but it's like a bunch of different things. Like, I don't know, but it's going to be like within this realm. And it's like not even fucking close to that at all. Like how I handle the situation, how someone responds to the situation, it's like not even remotely close. And there have been things that I've thought about in my life that are like for years, and I've maintained a concern and a fear because of, you know, when you take yourself seriously, it's like there's a lot on the line for a lot of different situations that may or may not happen. And if you're not so much, and it's like, that opens up a little bit more, and you're like, well, this is what I got right now. This is where I'm at right now. Still, like, you know, maybe feeling a lot of different things, but like, this is what you got right now. Like the situation that you're in, that's it in this moment. You can do other things in other moments, but like when you're here, you're here. And any thought about like things that may play out, it's like the more you go through things, the more you realize like, yeah, it's never correct. And so that sense of there being like this thing ahead of you, like a next thing, like it's not there. It's not. And if you're taking yourself seriously, if you're focusing on having some belief that there's a way to do something, it's going to guarantee at least remaining within some spectrum of control, it's going to feel like those things are worth looking at and focusing on and wondering about and being curious about. And if they don't, if it's like blank over there, then there isn't so much of a sense of needing to do something differently now. And it does, at least in the moment, alleviate for a sec, like any sort of tension, any sort of feeling that you're going through a processing. Because again, it's being processed. Whether you focus on what the next component of that processing is going to be or not, it's like you're not going to know one way or the other. So all you can do is show up and, you know, bring yourself as best you can and show up as you are, whatever component of the spectrum that's in. And sometimes that's feeling tense and fucking rigid. It's like sometimes that is what's being brought. And like, it's not to say like maintain that necessarily, but when it's like, this is what's being brought right now, do what you can with it. Like, might as well, as opposed to fighting the fight or whatever, just show up and realize that there's no sense of trying to maintain so much of that control, because either way, it's not a guarantee. Either way, one way or the other, that next thing in the process isn't guaranteed at all. And so it's like there is no next thing.
But because I can do that and it's enjoyable for me to do so. It's kind of like the art of war. Sun Tzu, pretty sure is this word. It's comes from a plan is only good until the first thing goes wrong. There's another expression that a plan is good and no plan survives first contact with the enemy. I think that's the quote. And it's just because all of a sudden everything just goes to shit. Like everything changes, right? But that said, that doesn't mean that surveying the landscape before the battle, that organizing your troops, that talking to them, raising their morale, making sure they're fed, you know, all of that stuff isn't somehow important. It's just the recognition that all of that is not control, right? That regardless of how much you might prepare, anything can happen. And that is something that we don't like we, and immediately you can hear the brain, well, if that's true, then I can just keep preparing. Not funny. Immediately, if I'm like, no, preparation has a place, the brain's just like, oh yeah, like it's super excited. Shit, I can control things. It's like, nope, you can't at all, right? But you can at least make a guess. Where we get all fucked up is in over investing in that guess, in needing the guess to be the truth, right? And that's largely from our fear, right? That's where that comes from. The more we are afraid, the more we need to settle on something as being the truth. But that's when we get blindsided. That's when we have frustration, disappointment, all that weird shit, right? So the preparation's not really preparation so much as just recognition that there are going to be certain things that you can do something about right now. There are certain things that you can do something about right now. You know, like, for example, and this is often the argument that's used against, quote unquote, mindfulness, is, right, you know, so what, you're just going to live in the moment? How are you going to eat? Do all that? Nobody's saying that you don't have to think to yourself, right, I got to eat, you know, or, you know, it'd be nice to have a roof over my head and all of that. It's in all the little in-between stuff. It really is. You know, it would be like if you had an apartment and it was based on your salary and you felt that all reflected you and your value and all that. And all of a sudden now your company goes under, or maybe they downsize, you lose your salary. Now you got to move down to a smaller apartment. Why is that reflecting on your value? Why does that mean anything about you at all? Right. And that's really the question. That's really what it comes down to, is what are we doing with these things that mean nothing about us? Because they mean nothing about us whatsoever. It's just about moving on and adapting and just trying to keep it fucking light.
Yeah. Appreciate the alternative perspective on that, because yeah, bring that one back to the ground. Yeah, because it like, when there isn't so much that necessarily means so much about you, then things do have a way of, there's like a sense of realizing what's going on and like just having more of a sensitivity and seeing those things, those shifts and changes as just opportunity to not keep playing out the same sort of pattern, the same thought that something does mean something about you and taking those opportunities to do so. And so, yeah, now you got me thinking about with the move, what apartment I'm getting. And I'm like, yeah, no, that is a decent opportunity to try something else and different and like realize that it doesn't have to mean anything. Cause there is like as much as you can talk about stuff, like obviously we've been talking about a lot more recently, like the application is all there is. And so there's opportunities to apply all the time, you know? And so in a move, for example, looking at other apartments, different apartments, like that's an opportunity for growth right there. And you can take that opportunity. And so, yeah, like there's always those opportunities to not put yourself first or your, because if it's always about your preferences, then doing those things that fulfill those preferences just maintain the same stuff you've been doing your whole life, you know, the same story you've been worrying about, looking at, validating, because the preferences validate that story. And you know, if you got one story for a bit and then it's really, you know, counteracting another underlying story, it's like you're left with a different perspective or whatever. And then that's what they validate is that. That's what they maintain. It's like the preferences are the active maintenance of that existing story that you're fucking sick and tired of. You're like, why do I keep telling myself this story? Because you keep doing the same preferential things, you know, you keep doing the things that you have a preference to do, as opposed to looking at those and realizing like that's what's validating the story is those things. Oh, there is a physical application of it. It's not just this cerebral thing that you can control and express and just express
lightly. Like that's the thing, like you've seen me when I go out in public, I'm just like, hey, how's it going, you know, just talking to people, you know. Same with Amanda, you know, when you've seen Amanda just out and about doing her thing, like people have witnessed Amanda at airports in our Patreon calls, for example. And she is quite literally just dancing about, waving at people, laughing with people, whether they're laughing or not. That is that choice that we all have to make it about our experience now, right? To just let it all go and just be there, you know, to just be there. And it's like, okay, well, I'm here. What do I want to do with this? And that's not a, what do I want to do physically? That's how do I want to react to what I'm doing right now? You know, and do I want to be like, oh, I could be doing something better? Because that sucks. That's not a fun choice to make. And we make that pretty consistently, you know, and that just makes whatever moment we're in suck. Right. Otherwise, we're just like, oh, I'm doing dishes. Oh, there's a stubborn little bastard. Get off there. Just scraping the fuck out of that. And you're just having fun. You're not thinking like, why do I have to do the dishes? You're doing dishes. You know, and that's the point. It doesn't have to be about you. It could be about the dishes. You know, and that changes your experience of it. And if it's about doing the dishes, why can't it be about doing the dishes while you're having fun doing the dishes? And immediately you're like, well, what reason do I have to have fun? Why do you need a reason to have fun?
Because the dishes aren't going to make it fun for you. Like, what do you think? The dishes are going to shift or change? And then it's like, all right, if it's you and the dishes and you're expecting the dishes to, as if there's a dish that's going to, yeah, like, like they're going to come to life. Like, like it's, what's it, Beauty and the Beast with all the dancing candles and everything. Like all of a sudden the plate grows some legs and some arms and it starts smiling. It's like, yeah, great work. Appreciate you washing me. It's like, no, the dish isn't going to do that. It's on you. It's always on you. It's always on. And every time there is, maybe typically you gravitate towards not making it fun. It's like, that's a great opportunity to realize that that's not necessary. It's not the only option. It never really is. So that's, and it's a lot more, I mean, there's been a lot of my life where I've thought that it's on, you know, it's someone else's, you know, someone else is going to do it when it comes to like, even, you know, even something like a conversation, like not taking the lead on a conversation, not jumping in, not expressing something because it felt like there was so much on the line. You know, there was so much concern at an airport. It's like, there have been times when I'm more relaxed and I'll like, you know, bop around and I kind of have like wanted, like deep down you want to do that because like there's no good reason not to. There really isn't, unless you're thinking about yourself and trying to stay in control and trying to maintain like a lack of perception as if that's possible. And like, if you're in a crowd, following the crowd, it is kind of possible to mitigate that. But as soon as you're not, it's like, it's the opportunity one way or the other to have, it's like there's the potential for more sway. There's no control, but there is a sense of like a, I don't know, like a deeper ripple, whatever, like a different one based on just how involved, based on how willing you are to make the most of this right now and the opportunity to do that. And so like you can take things in any direction. And I've been, my hat caught my attention and I'm really enjoying wearing this hat. This is honestly a hat that I wouldn't have worn like a couple years ago at all. I would have, you know, oh, it's, you know, corduroy. It's got all these dancing people on it. It's like kind of flatter. I don't know how it, you know, and like all these things. And it's like, why? There's no, like, and I've realized it's just for me. Like, it's just my own stuff. Thinking that, like, it's like outside of me. It's like there's no guarantee outside of that. So yeah, why not make a ripple?
You know, it's kind of funny because we're like, you know, make the most out of your moments. And immediately, once again, our brain, which thinks that there's a me to make the most of that moment, is like, how do I control that? What do I do with that? It's like, that's not it. Right? It's like, how do you make the most of your moment? Don't make it heavy. That's really what it is. And it's so counterintuitive to the way that we're taught, because we're taught as we go through school that it should feel serious. Like you're learning something that should feel serious. But in fact, you are paying the most attention when you're just relaxed and actually paying attention to what's happening rather than what it means about you. You know, and again, that doesn't mean relaxed. You're like, you know, just leaning back, laissez-faire, you know, that kind of thing. But relaxed, like present, attentive, not self-absorbed, not caught up in doubts and thoughts and fears and needs and desires and insecurities and all that stuff, because that takes away from one's attention. And so making the most of each moment is actually really light. This is why when we are in the zone, quote unquote, when we are actually not thinking about ourselves but are firmly involved with what we're doing, it feels effortless. The zone does not feel hard to do when you're there, right? That's kind of the trick. Everything's a spectrum of that. You know, how light are you making this? But often we don't want it to be light, because if it's heavy, that means I'm doing something. It means I'm making progress and taking down the walls. It's like, no, actually you are maintaining that fucking wall. that wall of you, because it's as light as you make yourself.
There can be that sense of like, yeah, but how do I get into the flow though? What's the steps? How do I get there and then maintain it? It's like, what if you're in it right now when you're not trying to get into it? Like what if you're in it right now? Crazy thought, maybe how you're expressing yourself. Cause there's always the thought that like, but doing it this way is the right way to be in the flow. It's like, no, the flow is the whole spectrum. So if you're going through some stuff, like realizing that it's not like about making it heavy. And it's like, you can go through stuff and realize you're in the flow right now. And like, you don't even know what is being expressed and what is being like learned or what you're going through. Like oftentimes there's been periods of my life where I've, you know, been feeling like I'm going through something and then things shift and like all of a sudden it like makes sense. But it's like it shifts when I stop trying to think that there's some shift that's going to happen, like that there is this shift of like you're going through something and then you're not and it all makes sense. And it's like, what if there's no, because again, a shift is like this fucking conceptual thing, as if there's a point, there's a spot. It's like, where is that spot exactly? At what point on this timeline that your mind has to create when you're thinking about stuff, does that exist? Does it exist here? Like, is it something you can think about? Is that timeline something you can see if you're not thinking about it? Is that point that it shifts something that you can keep in mind and you can get to and you can, you know, cross at some point? It's like, oh, well, you know, you just got to go through enough stuff and take these steps and follow fucking A Course in Miracles or read the Bible or, you know, blah, 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 like do all these things. And then once you, you know, once you finish that last chapter and close that book, then it's like, boom, it all shifts and changes. Like, no, it's like the whole time you're reading one of those things, if that's how you want to spend your time, you're there. Like, you are there. And when it's not about you getting somewhere or teaching something or learning something or expressing something or taking something in, then there is more. There's a lot more lightness here when it's not about where else you're getting or trying to go or trying to become or trying to turn into or trying to overcome or trying to maintain. So like when all of those things are components of this weight. And if you don't have to do any of those things, then this is quite a bit lighter.
Exactly. Which is why it's a balance. You can go a little bit too far on one side, right? Like you can, for example, you can be like, well, then I don't have to play any role whatsoever. I'm just going to be here and just do whatever I'm doing. It's like, that's going a little bit too far, you know? And it's just because all of a sudden now you're disregarding your environment entirely. You're disregarding whatever it is that you could be doing as a participation with the people around you. And they're all preparing for stuff. See, like they're all in a certain mentality, right? And so if you want to integrate with them or society as a whole, then you're going to agree to do certain things. You know, like, for example, and this is a great example, we host retreats. We host retreats where it is a balance between being there and just being there and still getting the food and stuff, you know, like just stuff like that. And so there's a balance there. And it's a tricky balance because on the one hand, you want to be there and present with everybody else. And on the other hand, you almost have to go back into this world of thought and preparation and everything else. But on that note, how seriously are you taking that? And how you know, how loosely are you treating that is a balance in itself, right? Like, you should be able to pivot. You know, it shouldn't be frustrating if it's not working out the way that you want it to, but there still should be some way that you're trying to make it work, or at least trying to do it, right? So it's such a balance, as with everything. It's kind of like when you're doing a job that you don't like. Why you don't like it is the problem. The job's not the problem, right? There's a balance there. It's not just about getting the job done. It's also getting your relationship with the job in order, right? You chose to be there. You may be like, well, yeah, because I got to pay my bills. Bills you choose to pay, right? And you, well, I got responsibilities to other people and obligations. Obligations you choose to hold on to. Well, I care about these people. Exactly. Right? Like, that's kind of the point, right? So it's all about the fact that regulate your relationship with now. Your relationship with now is that you're doing stuff because you want to. You know, you don't have to take that to heart and value yourself according to how well you're doing it. You can pay attention and do it for its own sake. You can do it for its own sake. So that way, everything that you do is done for its own sake. Not because it means anything about you, but because it's something you can sit back and appreciate later on, kind of like a beautiful painting or a sculpture, right? Like, that's kind of the point. Like, a painting and a sculpture isn't done by trying to get to the end of the painting. It's done one fucking stroke at a time, one chip at a time, observing it, each moment being an act of beauty and attention in itself. And what you end up with is a work of art, a work of creativity, a work of expression. And that is what everything that we do is. All of our jobs, our relationships, our situations, our times alone. These are all things that we have an opportunity to put attention into, as though our life is our work of art.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of I think it's Joe Rogan has some sort of quote, like, imagine you're this character in a movie. And it's the part of the movie where you're the, you know, deadbeat loser, piece of shit. And it's the start of the movie and it kicks off and you realize that you're like, oh, there's opportunity here. There's things. I don't have to respond to life in this way. Like, I can pay attention to what's going on and get involved and, like, realize again, like with doing the dishes, that the dishes don't come to life and start telling you jokes for you. It's like, it's on you to do all of that and fall and stumble and, like, even just try, like, even just attempt to, and that, like, you know, with talent, like, it's funny because I think there's my joke for the day. Goodness gracious, that sense of thinking and, like, being able to think back and forth between something, it's like, it is like a, it's something that I feel like I've always kind of relied on to figure something out. And as soon as I do now, it's like so many things flood in that almost, like, cloud whatever is going on that have no guarantees. They're all just assumptions. Like as soon as there's this sense of, oh no, we can figure this out, maintain control, blah, 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 blah. Like, and it becomes a sort of sense of, yeah, like a fog. And it's just another means of, yeah, like, not making the most of wherever you're at. It's like, you don't have to think about where you're at or what's going on. It's not necessary at all. Like, you can just be involved in what you're doing and, like, yeah, make the most of it and see where the opportunity lies to shift just yourself and your own response to whatever's going on. And, like, when there is that sense of, you know, oh, I don't know if I want to try telling jokes. It's like right now I'm trying to think of some sort of joke and I'm like, I don't even know if I know any. I've had such a sense of like, oh, I don't want to even jump into that. So, yeah,
I don't like telling jokes. You know, it's funny because I really don't. And it's just because telling jokes is kind of like, it's the easy thing to do. Like you can go and find a book of jokes and memorize them and practice how they're delivered and get really good into, you know, acting them out and making it so it's very much a show. And that's a lot of fun. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of like theater, you know, and that's great. But to actually like see the absurdity of things as you're just going through a conversation, to actually like be there, just notice something funny and go, that's fucking hilarious. You know, like just stuff like that, like to actually have the ability not to tell a joke, but to experience humor and share that humor, you know, and that's really it. You know, it's just to find something funny. And then, you know, put it out there and maybe somebody else will find it funny. You know, the perfect example is that stupid fucking guillotine thing that we talked about last week where I'm like, God, wouldn't that be hilarious? And then I made a photo about it and I put it on Instagram and TikTok. Instagram hated it. I got like 100,000 views or something stupid about just people just angry at me. And then TikTok, I'm at a million views today on that. And people are laughing their ass off. Was that a joke? It was something I found funny. Right. And that's it. I just put it back out there. I was like, that's kind of funny. Right. Or last week when I was walking along and there was this sign saying like, you know, automotive repair, electronics, you know, carburetors, all that other stuff. And then above it, it just said flesh. Like, that's a random thing to add on to that list of services. What does that even mean? And to me, that's fucking hilarious. Nobody was there. Like, I just find that funny. You know, doing the dishes like we were talking about earlier. When I can't get some piece of fucking grime off, you're damn right I talk to it. I'm like, get the fuck off there. Why? It's not like it's listening to me. It's not like I actually think I'm talking to it. It's because it's funny to me. If I was to see that in a movie, some character just fucking struggling like a motherfucker with it, I would giggle. I would relate to that fucking person. Right? And that's the point, is that there's no way to be funny in the conceptual way. A lot of people try, you know, a lot of comedians, that's how they start. They're like, I'm going to come up with jokes and I'm going to go up on stage. But it's not until they're laughing at those jokes themselves that they really hit, you know, that they actually see the humor in it rather than thinking to themselves, what will somebody else laugh at? That's the difference. You know, that's why I find telling jokes. And again, like, I like it and I'm pretty good at it from time to time. I enjoy telling jokes because, again, it's kind of like theater and there are some really good jokes. But I prefer to actually just catch things on the fly and find them absurd and laugh my ass off. And then when I get that look from the people around me, like eyebrow up, blank fucking stare, like what the hell is funny about this? I just fucking peel. Like, I just laugh so much harder. I'll bend over and just fucking laugh just at the fact that nobody else gets it. That's gratifying as shit to me, right? Because it's my life. It's not about you getting it. That's why it's funny. That said, we have 30 seconds left and a round table.
Yes, round table in about 15 minutes. So if you're on Patreon tier 2, I think everyone who's signed up is
tier 2 and tier 3. That's right. Yeah. You can register. Just go to patreon.com/dualisticunity. There's a post and it sends you to a form. You fill in the form, I send you the link. And if you don't fill it in the next 10 minutes, too bad.
10 minutes. Timer starts now. 5 minutes before. But yeah. All right. The sense of finding the humor in things like, can only come, it's like, don't have to look to anyone else to see if they find it funny. It's like you can find things funny yourself, and sometimes that's just laughing at yourself for being fucking absurd.
Yep. And just to wrap this episode up, I want to go back to this comment left by Ronnie Big Balls. Looks so good, I dip y'all in chocolate. Thank you, Ronnie Big Balls. We really appreciate that.
See you soon, Ron.